Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I hope to take as my text this morning just four words that our Lord asked Elijah when he was out there in the wilderness. Take these words with you and ask them to yourselves over and over and over, as if the Lord Himself, face to face, asked you this. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? Now I'll give you, just hold your Bibles there. We're going to just use those four words. But here in this portion of God's Word, we have this account of the prophet Elijah. This man just suddenly appeared. He just suddenly appears on the scene. We don't know his parentage. We don't know anything about Elijah. He just suddenly appears. And he appears to the king, Ahab, that wicked king at that time, and that wicked queen, Jezebel, his wife. And he appears to him and he said, for your wickedness, he says, it's not going to rain for 3 years. Be no rainfall for 3 years. And just as suddenly as he appeared, the Lord removes him. And the Lord takes him into the wilderness. And you all know that story. He goes into the wilderness and he's miraculously taken care of. He's fed by ravens. What an amazing thing. It's no more amazing than how our Lord takes care of us. How He provides for us. He sends that He's pleased to send. And whatever instrument He's pleased to use to bring it to us. He chose to feed Elijah with ravens. And He watered him by His own brook. Well, that brook dried up. And the Lord said, it's time to move on. And the Lord took him to a Gentile woman. A woman of Sarepta. You remember that story. And she was ready to die. All of her substance had been used up. And she had a little boy. And she was preparing to fix the last meal for her and her son. And then they were going to die. And Elijah came to them and said, fix me that cake. Use that last little bit of oil and fix me that cake of meal. And she did. And Elijah stayed there with that woman for a long period of time. And that meal never did run out. That barrel never did run empty. You ever feel like our barrel's going to run empty? I tell you what. Jackie tells me all the time, she said, you know, you weren't a worrier when you were a young man. And said, now that you've gotten old and gray hair, said, you worry about everything. Our kids, we raised four kids, or she did, and they could do anything. I mean, nothing caused me to be concerned about them, to fear. But now we've got these 9 grandchildren, and I hover over them like a mother hen. I'm scared to death of every move they make. If it was up to me, they'd sit right there and not do anything. And I tell you, our nation's in a mess. It's in an absolute mess, and I'm concerned. Not for me and Jackie, and as my dad said, oh, you that's long of tooth, we're not concerned. But I'm concerned about our young people and about our children. It's a tough day. And then I say, wait a minute, Dave. Wait a minute, what are you saying? You're talking like one of them foolish people. Is everything going according to schedule? Yes, it is. Is this God's president? Yes, it is. It absolutely is. I better be careful what I say about it. God put him there. He put him there on purpose and for a purpose. And that meal never did run out. Humanly speaking, this is a desperate situation. Oh, it's an awful situation. Like in our day? No, it's not. No, it's not. God's still on the throne? Still on the throne. Is He doing according to His own will? He's doing according to His own will. Then sit down. Just stand still. Stand still and watch. Keep your eyes open and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what's going on here. And the Lord provided for Elijah and for that woman and that little boy. After they'd been there a while, that little boy died. That woman came to Elijah and said, oh my goodness, my boy's died. And Elijah came to him. Remember that? Laid on him. Spirit come back into that child. He raised up. And then just as suddenly, the Lord said, Elijah, it's time to go back. And he leaves that place and he goes back and he approaches Ahab again. And he tells Ahab, he said, it's time for a showdown. You've done evil among the people. And you've led the people astray. And you've caused the people to worship a false god. He said, you call your 450 prophets of Baal. And you gather all the people. And you come up there on that mountain. And I'll meet you up there. I'll meet you all by myself. And they do. There they are. Can you imagine that scene up there on Mount Carmel? Here's the whole house of Israel. And here's these lunatics, these 450 crazy religious people. About like what we see when we turn the TV on in our day. You know, they had funny hats and they had robes and purple and gold and yellow and blue and, you know, and all these chants and all this foolishness. And they, it's quite a show. It's quite a show, like religion is in our day. And Elijah said, you select the bullock. I'll select the bullock. And old Elijah, he repaired the altar that the people had quit worshiping God through that sacrifice. That sacrifice, that blood sacrifice that pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, had quit doing that. And he said, you cut up your bullock and I'll cut mine up. You put yours on your altar, I'll put mine on this altar, on God's altar. And he said, you call on your God. And let's see what happens. And they did. Can you see the foolishness? Can we see it in our day? In the name of religion? They jumped up and down. They rolled on the ground. They shouted. And they talked in gibberish. In unknown tongues, they call it. It was an awful show. It was an awful show. And they cut themselves. The blood run down their arms. Nothing happened. No fire fell. And Elijah said, you know, maybe your God's asleep. You're going to have to raise the volume, you know. Oh boy, they do that in our day. You think you've seen it all? You wait till tomorrow and turn the TV on tomorrow. It'll be crazier than today. They turn the volume up every day to get people fired up and whooped up into a frenzy. Every day. Every day. He said, maybe he's going into a far country. Maybe he's traveling. And nothing happened. And nothing happened. And then Elijah stepped forward. And Elijah said, go get some water. And you wet everything down. I mean barrels and barrels and barrels. Humanly speaking, is this sacrifice going to be consumed? No way. No way. They put barrels and barrels and barrels of water. Even had a big trench around the sacrifice. And it was full of water. Look here in 1 Kings 18. Just right across the page here. And here's what God's man does. He just speaks. He don't do no shenanigans. He don't do no shows and jumping around and entertainment and foolishness. He just calls on God. Quietly. Calls on God. And in verse 36, look here. 63 words, all he said. They've been at this for hours and hours. They've been at this for 5 or 6 hours. And this is now at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's an interesting time. This is the time of the sacrifice over there in the temple. This is the time of the evening sacrifice. Them sacrifices that God said, you slay them. Slay that lamb every day at 3 o'clock. At the exact time at 3 o'clock. What's significant about that? It's the exact time that our Lord died on the cross. And at that exact time, old Elijah stepped forth. He said, okay, listen to this. And he says this 63-word prayer. Look there in verse 36. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Oh, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. That's very important there. Very important there. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. You see any shenanigans? You see any show? You see any show of the flesh? any costumes, any jewelry, any rings, any of that foolishness. Elijah stood there dressed as a plain man. He had on a garment that just covered him. He had a big leather belt around his waist. Had black hair that they say way down his back. And when he'd get ready to travel in a hurry, he'd pull that garment up and tie it up with that robe, and man, he was on the move. But there was no attention to the flesh. None whatsoever. Just a plain man. And he prayed to his God. Show these people. Show these people who God is. And the fire fell. Oh my goodness, the fire fell. Consumed the sacrifice, the altar, the rocks, and all the water. Licked it all up. Now what happened? The people fell on their faces. The people fell on their faces. Have you seen Him? Have you seen the glory of our God? Have you seen Him in all of His splendor and majesty and power? Have you seen Him? Have you seen Him? We'll fall on our faces if we see Him. And they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah took those 450 phonies, those 450 prophets of Baal, and he slew them. And old Jezebel got word of this. And she said, "I'm going to do the same thing to Elijah this time tomorrow." And the interesting thing is, all the things that Elijah has done up till now, the Lord removed him. The Lord sent him into the wilderness. The Lord sent him to the woman of Sarepta. The Lord said, "It's time to go back." The Lord brought him back to Ahab. The Lord caused him to appear before Ahab. And now Elijah's, he's scared. And he takes off. And there's no mention that the Lord told him to go to the wilderness. There's no mention whatsoever. Now don't be too hard on Elijah. I think to myself, what would I do? What would I do? What would anybody do in the same situation if the Lord removed his hand? I'm awful guilty of looking around and saying, what are they doing that for? Well, I ain't in their shoes. I ain't in their shoes. What would I do? I don't know. Except His grace sustained me, I'd do worse, even worse. And Elijah fled and went into the wilderness. And he was gone 40 days into the wilderness. And he came to a cave. This is God's man. This is God's man. I said, "God, let it be known. I'm your man. I'm your prophet. Let this people know that you're God and that I speak in your place." And that fire fell. Humanly speaking, I'd say, boy, if I'd ever seen anything like that, I'd never, ever stray again. Well, yes, I would. Elijah did. And there he sits in that cave. And the Lord appears to him. And the Lord asks him this four-word question. And I ask it to myself, and I ask it to you today. What doest thou here? What doest thou right here? Today. What are you doing here? Every one of you. Me. My wife. What are we doing here? Why are we here? Why are we here? It's a very simple question. It's a very plain question. It's a question that's easily understood. And I would say to you in the very first place, the very first point, in all situations, wherever it is in this wandering and traveling and this journey down here below, in every situation I'm placed, in every situation I find myself, ask myself, what am I doing here? As if the Lord crossed my path and spoke to me and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing in this place? In all situations, ask myself that. And then be prepared to listen to that still, small voice. That voice that spoke to Elijah. He didn't speak to him. He didn't speak to him in the earthquake. He didn't speak to him in the fire. He didn't speak to him in the wind that rent the rocks and caused that rumbling and shaking of the earth. The Lord wasn't in that. And then He spoke to him in a still, small voice. What doest thou here? What doest thou there? Thou here? And the answer to this question, it settles all debates, all arguing, all discussions, all splitting of words. It settles all those deep, great theological questions. I'm not much of an internet person. I'm that close to being computer illiterate. But occasionally somebody will say, you ought to get on there and you ought to see what they're arguing and debating about. And Don Fortner's always the cause for a lot of it. Don Fortner gets beat up more than anybody on the internet. And they're always splitting hairs. And they're always arguing. And every one of those arguments and every one of those discussions is great big words there. Big words. And they're out in that deep water. I don't live in that deep water. God hadn't given me that to live in the deep water. I paddle along on the shore. I'm in these things that are easily gleaned and little words. My understanding is small. I can't debate and argue and discuss with these theologians. But I'm telling you this one thing I know. What doest thou here? And the answer to that question settles all that. It puts it all away. And the very first point I have to make, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And not out there. I followed John and Irene over here to church this morning. And I particularly counted on the way. I counted 7 churches before we got here to this church. And I thought every time I looked, why am I not there? Why am I not there? Why am I not there? What dost thou here? And my first point is, I'll tell you why I'm here. Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. If in this life I ever arrive to the place that I'm not a sinner, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble. I don't know all you folks' location. I know Ron, they come down here from Roanoke. I think some of you's from up here at Boone's Mill. And I don't know what points east and west and north and south you come here from. But here's an amazing thing. Every one of you come here week after week after week, and your pastor stands up here, and what's he tell you? He tells you, you folks are just like I am. You're sinners. You're awful. You're ugly. You're undone. You're wicked. You're evil. You're corrupt. And what you deserve, what I deserve, is the wrath of God. So I come here. I come here on a regular basis to hear whoever God puts here to tell me I'm a dead dog sinner. And you got no hope. You got no help. And God's not pleased with anything you do. The very best thing you do and the very best thing I can do. And we do some generous things. We do some kind things. We do some caring things and some giving things. And what's God think of it? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Go home and look that word up. In mixed company, we can't talk about it. Go home and look it up. That's what we are in God's sight. We're odious. We're obnoxious in God's sight. And I come here on a regular basis, and you do too, and hear God's man that's been given the message of grace and hope in Christ look out there every Sunday and say, you're sinners. If God don't do something for you, we're all going to hell. And I come here on a regular basis to hear that. If I ever in this life attain to the place where I do not need grace, I'm in trouble. I'm in desperate trouble. If I ever arrive at the place in this life that I feel like I'm now clean, I'm in trouble. Because I need to be washed desperately in the blood of the Savior every day. We have an old dog. Louis is his name. He ain't much. 5 years old. And we've, for 5 years, we let him in the house occasionally. Well, pretty much all the time. Pretty much whenever he wants in. And he stinks. He stinks. And I'll get him, and we've got shampoos and we've got deodorizers, and I'll bathe him all up. And He's pretty thin. He's pretty thin. I'll dry him with the towel, you know. I love to have him up in my lap, and he just smells so good. And the first time I open the door, you know what that dog does? I mean, the vilest thing that's laying in the yard, he goes and rolls over on his back, and he scoots back and forth in that, that despicable thing. We can learn something by watching them dogs. That's me. That dog's me. That dog's me. And he'll come back and he'll stink. And I'll just look at him and I'll say, Louis, what are you doing? What are you doing? We just gave you that. What are you doing, Louis? And he'll just look up at me like, this is what I do. This is what I am. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. This is what I am. I'm a sinner. And I come here to be reminded of that on a regular basis. Old Spurgeon used to say, when he had his preacher school over there, and he'd advise those young students that was going through the preacher school, and he'd tell them, he'd say, don't ever let anybody brag on you to your face. Don't ever let them brag on you to your face. Don't ever get puffed up. Don't ever get past this. We're sinners. My mommy and daddy were sinners, and their mommy and daddy before them, and our children sinners. And I come here on a regular basis to hear that. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? In the second place, God's holy. What are you doing here? Who do you want to hear about? Whose holiness and goodness do you want to hear about? God Almighty. Now in our day, there's not much of that going around. In our day, it's God loves everybody. That's a lie. God wants everybody to be saved. That's a lie. God sent His Son into this world to die for everybody. That's a lie. That's a lie. Hatched in hell. That's a lie. God's holy. God's pure. God's perfect. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have many, many scriptures that we could read to tell about the person of our God. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And He only hath immortality. That's our God. He only hath immortality. And He, look at that, He dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto. No man. No man can approach unto. He's holy. He's pure. Whom no man hath seen nor can see ever. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's our God. He's holy. He's pure. He's sovereign. He does whatsoever He will. You remember that old king, Nebuchadnezzar? You remember that? You remember that story? Turn back there to Daniel chapter 4. Let's read that. Daniel chapter 4. Now you know the story. Old Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. And God judged him for his wickedness and for his rebellion. And He turned him into a wild beast. And he roamed the earth out there like a wild animal. His hair grew and his fingernails grew like claws. And he ate grass. And he was out there for 7 years, I believe it was. And at the end of the days, God recovered him. And God brought him back to his right mind. In verse 34, Daniel 4, are you there? At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored Him, Him that liveth forever and ever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And His kingdom, it's from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He does, our God does, Him who's holy and sovereign, does all things according to the counsel of His own will. He doth according to His will. And He does it in the army of heaven, and He does it among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand, and none can say, what doest thou? He's God. He's God. What are we? We're sinners. We're undone. We're awful, ugly, rotten to the core. God's pure and perfect and holy, does whatsoever He will, with whom He will, when He will. Well, this is a desperate story. This is a desperate situation. That's not the end of the story. What doest thou here? What are you doing here this morning and not down there? Because much is made of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. Much is made of God's Christ. Much is made of Him who came down here and identified with people like us. Beggars, sinners, filthy, undone. He came down here. He came down here and done the will of His Heavenly Father. And this is that will. This is that will. God who's holy and pure and perfect, and us who are sinful and awful and ugly, yet in His love, in His perfect love, He loved the people before He ever created the heavens and the earth. God did. And He loved us and gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was the surety of those people. Putting it in words that we can understand, Christ stood before the Heavenly Father. God said, I love a people. And Christ said, I'll go down there. I'll go down there and I'll die for my people. I'll redeem every one of my people. What doest thou here? You here to hear that message? You're not here to be bragged on. You're not here to be coddled. And you're here to hear what we are. We're sinners. And we're hopeless and helpless. And God's holy and pure. But He gave Christ to people. He gave Christ to people. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down here and did everything for those people. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about Him. I can't argue theology. I can't go out there in that deep water. But I know this much. And that's why I'm here. I'm a sinner. God's pure and perfect and holy. And I can never cross that chasm between me and Him. There's a great gulf between us. And my sins keeps me from Him. But oh, thank God, Christ came. Oh, there's hope. There's hope. And He's everything in this place. He's everything. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Tell me about the Savior. Tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 6, He said, I come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that all which He gave me, they'll come to me. And I'll raise them up at the last day. I'll redeem every one of them. You interested in that? I'm interested. That's why I'm here. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? Christ died for sinners. That's why I'm here. I want to hear about Him. I want to hear about Him over and over and over. And my fourth point is the Lord calls out His people through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is in this place. The message is in this place. The word of hope is in this place. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. There's no greater judgment than our Lord pronounces on a people or a community than to withhold the gospel from them people. There's no greater judgment. And I know you folks here in this community, I know you thank God every day for the man that He raised up in this place. Because He's not been pleased to do it every place, but He's done it in this place. You have the message that has been the message for always. And God's going to raise up. If you're going to hear, if them children are going to hear, if them children are going to hear. One of these days, these little ones are going to grow up. We want them to go away to college. We want them to have a good education. We want them to be able to provide for their families. But I'm telling you, encourage them early, and encourage them often. Don't leave the gospel. You're going to go away to school? Find you a school where the gospel's close by. You're going to go away and find a better job? Don't let this world promote you away from the gospel. Don't let that happen, because it's deadly. You find a place where the gospel's preached, because it's a treasure. It's a treasure. And one of these days you'll have little ones, and they're going to hear about Christ the same way you heard about Him, through the preaching of the gospel. No other way. That's God's method. That's God's purpose. And in Romans 10, look in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not heard, not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Does words have any meaning? That's it, isn't it? It's right there. You're going to hear the gospel? Going to hear about Christ? Going to hear about your sinnerhood and the holiness of God? You're going to hear about the love of God to a people that was dead in trespasses and sin? That love that gave them to Christ and He came and died for them? And through the preaching of the gospel, He'll cross their path and say, live! Live! How are they going to do that? Unless God sends them a preacher. And verse 15, how are they going to preach except they be sent? Except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Oh, of good things. Of good things. The greatest thing about your pastor, Paul Mahan, he is kept himself physically fit. He is a specimen. He is in shape. He can run and he can still work and he's active and he does all those right things. He looks good and he dresses well. He's snappy enough to be in a clothing magazine. He's handsome and he's got a personality. He's just kind and generous. But you know the greatest trait about him? It's his feet. It's his feet. Them feet that, by the grace of God, calls him into the Word of God. And he walks through this Word of God. And he walks through with this prayer in his heart. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see Christ on every page. And give me that ability. Give me that ability to walk into to your people on a regular basis. And to walk up in front of them. And open the Bible, the Word of God, and say, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how beautiful are His feet. How beautiful. It's a great gift. It's a great blessing. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? I'm here because I'm a sinner. And I'm here because there's a great gulf between me and God. And I can never cross it. But Christ can. The Redeemer can. The Lord Jesus Christ can. He can take me into the very presence of the Father. And He can take me in pure and holy and without spot and blemish. He can do that. You interested? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And we're here to hear the gospel. We're here to hear the gospel. We're here to hear that same message over and over and over again. And if it changes, you'll find where it is being preached. Because that's the method of God. That's His purpose in saving these people. He's going to call them out through the sound of the gospel. And finally, the chief reason I'm here is to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear about Him over and over. Do you ever get tired of hearing about Him? Never get tired of hearing about Him? I remember hearing a story years ago. It was in Russia. That's an odd place for the Lord to call out one of His sheep. Well, no. It's no more odd than it is for Him to call out one. I mean, Rocky Mount within 100 feet of the gospel. He'd call out who He will. And He called a young woman. I don't know how she heard the gospel. I don't know who crossed her path, but she heard the gospel. And she fell in love with Christ. And she wanted to hear about Him. Like you want to hear about Him. Over and over and over again. And there was another group of people in that community. They had heard about Christ too. They loved the Lord, loved to hear about Him, loved to hear Him being bragged on. And they would meet on a regular basis. Well, in Russia, it was, you was in trouble if they even found you had a Bible or believed in the Savior. And so they was going to meet on this certain day. And they were going to sing them hymns of praise to our Savior. And somebody was going to open the Word of God and break the bread of life. And she was sneaking down valleys and back streets and crossroads, and because it was illegal what she was doing. And the police stopped her. And they said, "What are you doing out this time in the morning? Where are you going?" And she thought, "I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble." And she said, "I can't lie to these people. God's people don't lie. You've got to be honest." And she thought quickly and she said, this was her answer. She said, "My elder brother has died. And they're going to have the reading of the will this morning. And I'm going to go see what he left me." What are you doing here? And the answer to that settles all the arguing and all the debate. You don't need to get into these theological discussions. I'm a lost ball in the high weeds when you get into those things. But I know this much. I'm here because I'm a sinner. And I'm here because God's holy. And I can't approach unto Him, except through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's preached in this place over and over and over again. And He's given me faith. What doest thou here? I'm here because He's here. Thank God. Let's pray. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we enter into Thy presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him and Him alone. Father, we confess that we're sinners. We confess we're unworthy of any goodness from Thy hand. But because of Thy great love to us, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because You crossed our path with the preaching of the gospel, because You gave us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we're thankful. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You for making me whole. Thank You for giving to me Thy salvation, rich, and it's free. Continue to bless us. Continue to meet with us, Thy people. We'll give You all the praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.